You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
And greetings and a happy Tuesday to you here as we come your way from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It is the Gym Class program here on 1600 ESPN as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. A lot to get to on a Tuesday edition of the show. Back half of the program, we'll take a look at some wrestling news with KJ Pilcher. Mainly high school news, but we'll talk some college wrestling as well with KJ coming up. Front half, a lot of round ball. Cyclone Tim, I was wondering the over-under on how quickly you were going to get in on the text line. You beat that has already commenting about what happened at around 11:40 last night Central Time. That shot from Caleb Love. We'll talk more about that. Iowa State in Arizona, as Tommy Lloyd called it, tremendous theater last night at the McHale Center. Neither one of the games were any good if you were a Hawk or a Cyclone last night, but I think Iowa's, as bad as Iowa State's was, Iowa's may have been worse, but we'll discuss that coming up on the show here today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call. Also, 319-366-1600. And, Mark Dukes, good afternoon to you. How are you on this Tuesday?
I'm great, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone. And yeah, no worries on a 52-degree day in eastern Iowa.
It's pretty darn nice outside. A little windy, about a 3-club wind, maybe even more than that. But we're not playing golf, certainly, as of yet. And Isaac, happy Tuesday to you.
Yes, I'm sure this will be a fake sort of spring moment where it'll warm up for a couple weeks and then it'll get blistering cold again sometime in February, I'm sure.
Well, last year we had kind of a crappy March.
Yes, that as well. Yeah.
So that's kind of been the trend in the last few years, but we'll see what happens. We're hoping for the best here. 319-366-1600. A lot of people, I would imagine, wanting to comment on both Iowa and Iowa State last night. I had maybe 5:07 when Cyclone Tim would get in on the text line. He beat that. Saying better this happened on a late Monday night in late January than somewhere in the NCAA tournament, I guess. If you did not see it or hear it live, Caleb Love draining about a 55-footer at the buzzer in regulation as Arizona tied Iowa State up. And the Wildcats dominated overtime. Caleb Love took it from there, hit a couple more threes in the extra five-minute period, and Arizona rescued a loss into a win and dropping Iowa State to their second Big 12 loss on the year as the Wildcats win it at the McHale Center last night. It hurts, Mark, if you're a Cyclone fan. There isn't a doubt in the world about that. Is it going to kill the season? Absolutely not. But as we discussed earlier today, probably out of 10,000 times, that happens maybe once or twice. There's not a whole heck of a lot you can do about it.
Yeah, it was just a prayer that was answered in regulation for Arizona, and Wildcats dominated in the overtime period. And you know, it was a shot that, yeah, you're going to make it 99 or once out of 100 times, right? Even in practice. Maybe not that. I don't know. It was more than half court. Taman Lipsey had tried to get a hand in the face. It was just a prayer, as I said. And you're going to have that in in basketball. You're going to have that in the NFL when the Redskins play the Bears. But it was one of those things. It's not going to hurt Iowa State, I don't think, by any means. The big thing, of course, Scott, you know this, that Arizona did a great job in eliminating Curtis Jones.
They did. But then again, as we've talked about with Iowa State basketball all through the season, you take away Curtis Jones, Taman Lipsey has 18 last night. And Keyshawn Gilbert, that guy is Merlin the Magician when he goes into the lane, because I have no idea in the world, A, how he gets the shot off amongst three trees with some sort of a scooping behind the back thing. Not only that, he makes them more often than not. It was amazing again. Jefferson had his moments. Yes, Iowa State misses Momcilovic. There's no doubt. But I tell you, Watson coming off the bench, Heisey's getting some more minutes. I like Watson and what he's done for this Iowa State team. They were 55 feet away from going 2-0, and I think what may have hurt the Cyclone fans even more, if you were watching ESPN, was the fact that John Shambi and Fran Fraschilla both said before the second free throw, well, Iowa State maybe got away with two wins in the desert, not playing their best basketball, and then, bang, look what happened.
Well, I would have said the same thing, probably. It was premature. Because we know what happened after that, but it looked very good for Iowa State, and that's a good win. McHale Center is not an easy place to play. Arizona's now won 10 of its last 11 games. What it does is creates a two-game gap between Iowa State and Houston. If Iowa State has ambitions to win the Big 12, and I know it does, one game against Houston this year, that game at Houston, I still have to play Kansas. So the designs on winning a Big 12 regular season championship maybe have taken a tumble, but there's much more ahead for this Iowa State team to focus on.
And like we talked about yesterday, it did not hurt Iowa State one iota with the net rankings. Came into the game at 6. They left the McHale Center with a 6. So, yeah. If they had a 1, maybe a 5. You don't really move up a whole lot when you're number 6 in the country in the net. But it didn't hurt Iowa State. And Arizona moves up 5 spots. They go up to number 11 as far as the net is concerned. And Fraschilla had, I thought, some very, very good things to say afterwards. And kind of what we said, Mark, that Arizona needed this. They needed a win like that, a quad one home win, because they kind of limped through November. One of their bigs is out for the year. He's been out for a couple months now after getting hurt in the UCLA game earlier on in the season. But Arizona needed that game, I guess, more than Iowa State needed it. It's a dumb thing to say. I know it's a dumb thing to say, but with the troubles Arizona had early in the year, they needed that one.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, if you would, if you're an Iowa State fan, and I tell you they go 1-1 on the trip out west, no, not ideal. I understand that, especially when Iowa State had, you know, a victory snatched from them last night. But big win for Arizona. We knew this Big 12 was going to be tough, and the rest of the schedule's tough. So I'm more focused on the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament, frankly.
And I think Iowa State is as well. The Big 12 regular season championship would be great. I think, I don't know, that's a debate to be had sometime in March, maybe. I mean, what is better, the tournament championship or the regular season championship? I think people tend to remember the tournament championships more than the regular season championships. That's just my... just my opinion being formed over the years.
Yeah, I think it's different now with the larger league. I think it meant more before conference tournaments, obviously, and, you know, a smaller conference. But when you win a tournament, you theoretically go into the NCAA tournament with a lot of momentum. And that's when you want to be playing well.
319-366-1600. What'd you think out there on that? As well as Iowa and Ohio State. 27-23 on the text line saying playing at McHale is a lot different than playing at Carver-Hawkeye this year. Well, Iowa may have played their best 30 minutes of the year, if you recall, in the game against Iowa State at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And then Iowa State took over in the last 10 minutes. Mark, I have to say last night was a first for me in taking Iowa basketball in for all of these many years. And that is the fact that I stopped following it at about the five-minute mark of the second half. And I know I was kind of on the high end of that. There were people that stopped paying attention after the first media timeout of the second half, certainly after the under 12 timeout. I couldn't get through that thing. It was that tough to watch and take in. After a pretty decent first half, that Iowa did some good things, especially with Owen Freeman down low. Drew Thelwell was tremendous, which kind of counteracted the fact that Josh Dix was 0 for the night, and Peyton Sanford did not have a good game, especially in the first half again last night. But then, as has happened many, many times, coming out at halftime was ugly, and it just got uglier and uglier and uglier in Columbus last night.
There were more interesting moments on The Bachelor last night than there were in Columbus. Believe me, I know. I'm not sure whether it was the under 12 or somewhere around in there, but yeah, I'd seen enough. And we've seen enough of this team on the road and other parts of the season. It was poor shooting. It was getting dominated on the boards. And if Scott Unash turns a game off, any college basketball game off, that's a six-letter word, apathy.
Yeah, it was I could not take it anymore. And it's to the point of saying to yourself, if you keep doing the same things over and over again, why do you expect the same a different result than what you have seen to this point so far in the 2024-2025 Iowa season? Same thing, Ohio State just taking it right at less physical Iowa players inside, going to the basket. When Iowa doubles, kick it out, wide open three, bang, getting out rebounded. After they fall behind, just throwing up poor shot after poor shot after poor shot. And not to throw everybody under the bus for Iowa. Again, Drew Thelwell, I thought, was really good. If he was not there last night, I don't know how bad it could have been. Traore was good off the bench, which makes me, and I told you earlier today, Mark, Sadu Traore's got to be in there 30 minutes. Drew Thelwell's got to be in there 30 to 35 minutes. I don't understand the whole Traore not playing as much as he should situation. When Iowa gets behind, Peyton Sanford starts to really, really throw up bad shots. It's just a compounding thing, and then you don't rebound, and then it just falls apart, and it's a loss. It ended up, 17? And it was anywhere between 20 and 25 for most of the second half.
Well, Thelwell did play 34 minutes last night, and Traore 20. There's no quick fix on this team, that's for sure, when it comes to defense and rebounding. Iowa just has limitations. And the more you miss shots, the more frustrated you get. And I think I saw a lot of that last night. I'm not a big starting lineup guy, as I've mentioned in the past, but I think the time has come for Brock Harding to go to the bench. And I'm not saying Brock Harding is the reason Iowa's playing like it does right now, but Brock plays hard. He's got the quickness to stay with some guards, but he's not tall. He does not have the length. He does not have the strength. Spends a lot of time at the start of a half-court possession, dribbling on the outside, can penetrate into the lane, but then can't finish because more times than not, he's up against bigger guys and kicks it back out. Again, I'm not placing everything on Brock Harding, but why not make some sort of switch? And I'm more into who finishes the game than starts the game. Harding played 17, almost 18 minutes last night. And, you know, would Iowa be better served him coming off the bench? I don't know. They'd be better served if Sanford and Dix were more consistent in their shooting. Dix 0 for 7, Sanford 5 for 16. I mean, need those two guys if you're going to compete. And Iowa didn't compete last night.
Riley Mulvey coming in, getting a little bit of playing time. Price Sanford, not a lot of points off the bench. Traore's got to get more than 20 minutes, in my opinion, Isaac. I mean, you were over there shaking your head. Again, it's the same old situation.
Yeah, it's the same issues. There's some tweaks, but overall, I just don't know how big those lineup changes are really going to make a difference for the squad. Again, at some point, you are what you are. And this is just who Iowa basketball is this year. And this is about as close as I can ever remember. I don't want to say calling for Franz Schaub or anything like that, but it's as I have completely realigned myself in that regard where I'm okay if this is Franz last year, where before I was pretty like wait and see, give him another year, let him continue to develop guys. This is the closest I've ever been as far as if this is Franz last year, then it is what it is.
319-366-1600. David said he turned it off and watched Netflix. I didn't watch Netflix last night. I just turned it to a different basketball game. Lack of athleticism at the point guard. Listen, here's the deal. I really think Peyton Sanford tries really, really hard. Well, we'll talk more about this on Thursday with Kevin Lehman on our Off the Glass segment. But basketball, as we have talked about for eons, it is a game of matchups. And Iowa thought they could really do some things and get some different matchups with Peyton Sanford at the four. And offensively, yeah, taking bigger guys out there, maybe taking them off the dribble, et cetera, et cetera. And it's worked on the offensive side. But the defensive side, Iowa is just getting absolutely destroyed by Peyton Sanford being a four and trying to take on bigger, more physical, stronger guys. Same thing with Josh Dix. Same thing with Brock Harding. Drew Thelwell can't guard everybody. Owen Freeman can't guard everybody inside. It's just the breakdowns defensively counteract everything you do offensively for the Iowa basketball team. And offensively, they are fine. They're good offensively. It wasn't great last night on the road again, but this team is averaging in the high 80s. You should win basketball games when you do that. Maybe the best thing for Iowa, Mark, is the fact they have about a week off now. Might be the best thing to ever happen to this basketball team.
What, then play Purdue?
And then play Purdue.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
They need time. I really think they just need time off. And I also don't really understand why this team won't. Over the years, when it's not been a good defensive team, Fran has called out the 2-3 zone. Saw it about two possessions last night. Not playing zone with this team, and I just do not understand. You're not going to get out-rebounded more than you are already, so why not just play zone and say, okay, this is the best we're going to do guarding people?
You know, I think I talk about apathy, and I think it is, certain measures that have sunk in the Iowa fan base. I think a lot of people want Iowa basketball to be good. And we go back to the preseason. Nobody really picked Iowa to finish in the upper half of the Big Ten. So the expectations were low. But you also could exceed those expectations. And I'm telling you what, right now, the time has come. We don't need to talk about the NCAA tournament. We don't need to talk about the NIT. We need to talk about whether this team can make the Big Ten tournament. I mean, you really want to be one of 18 teams that don't make the tournament? That would be a big low for me.
15 of the 18 make it to Indianapolis. You're right, the bottom three. And right now, Iowa has six losses, Northwestern, Minnesota. The suddenly red-hot Gophers are 3-6. Rutgers, 3-6. The bottom three right now are Penn State, Nebraska, and Washington. Washington is in bad shakes right now at 1-8. Nebraska, after that such a promising start for Fred Hoiberg, they're at 2-7, Nebraska 3-7. But Iowa's only a game ahead of them in the loss column at this present time to try to avoid not going to the Big Ten tournament. And, boy, that would be you hate to think what the fan base Isaac's going to be like if Iowa does not make the Big Ten basketball tournament.
Again, it's as close as I've ever been. I think Fran has done a really good job with – he did his job, I guess is what I'll say, regarding Iowa basketball. He pulled it out of the Licklider era, revitalized the program a little bit, injected some life into it, but it seems like that life is sort of fading at this point, and you need – I don't know. It just feels like something has to change, and I don't know what else there is that you can do in regards to Iowa basketball to sort of revitalize it and give it another spark. I just don't know what other move there is at this point.
Hopefully a week will also help Cooper Koch get healthy, because I think he would have helped this team and has helped this team when he's been in there. And that I understand for Fran's sake, that has been he's been handcuffed by that. Just does not have as deep a rotation as he would like. And I think not that Koch is a superstar, but he's a promising young freshman.
You look at Iowa's remaining schedule, and the way it is played, you wouldn't favor Iowa against anybody. I know that Penn State game Friday night was a win, but it was a teaser. We know it was a teaser. You look at the remaining schedule, mark February 22nd down, Scott. Don't know what day of the week that is, but that's when Iowa hosts Washington. Might be the next best to win a basketball game.
Purdue and Wisconsin at home back-to-back. That will not be easy, certainly, as Greg and Epworth will attest to. His Badgers are playing great basketball right now. Purdue, just Matt Painter doing Matt Painter things. That's next Tuesday night. Then the 8th, let's see, 5, 6, 7. That's a Saturday for Iowa and Wisconsin, Saturday afternoon. Will there be more red at Carver? I don't know. Then at Rutgers, at Maryland, they're playing as well as anybody. And then Oregon at home, like you said, Washington, at Illinois, at Northwestern, and then Michigan State and at Nebraska. It's not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy to try to get some more wins right there. 319-366-1600. As Rod says on the text line, it always – and Beth Getz right now got a tough situation because the attendance is what you got to look at this in this day and age. Not that it wasn't in 1990, but it's even more of a factor right now. And as Rod says, we might be getting to the point where the attendance may have to dictate something. I don't know. Cyclone Tim – weighing in again. I remember not long ago when Fred Hoiberg's good Iowa State offensive teams weren't playing good defense. They went and got Doc Sadler, who was a defensive guy to help them. Maybe Fran needs a defensive-minded coach. You can only – what's the old saying, Mark? You need the Jimmies and the Joes.
I hadn't heard that one.
It's not the X's and O's. It's
you
the
need
Jimmies
the Jimmies and
the
Joes.
Yep.
And – they need a big. They need another big. Trying to put Riley Mulvey out there, and he does some decent things, but he's not a scoring threat at all. And he just looks lost as far as his footwork offensively and defensively in the post. And They took a flyer on him. Hasn't panned out so far. And we haven't even seen Evan Bronze in about 3 weeks now. Was hurt a little bit, but has not been playing, certainly. 319-366-1600 is the text line. We're going to talk with KJ Pilcher coming up here in just a little bit. And, Mark, need to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update first. It's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock. That is Monday through Saturday. And you can check out their menu. It is online, as always, at emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
Thanks to Emil's. Second-ranked South Carolina topped number 5 LSU last night, 66-56 in women's college basketball. It was South Carolina's 69th straight home court win, and I found this hard to believe, 17th in a row against LSU. Former Iowa star Micah Hyde has officially retired from the NFL. In 11 seasons with Green Bay and Buffalo, Hyde started 128 games and had 24 interceptions. Hyde was injured this season, but was signed to the Buffalo practice squad in December. Iowa defensive lineman Aaron Graves has been named a second-team Academic All-America by College Sports Information Directors. Graves earned an associate's degree while in high school, got his bachelor's degree last August at Iowa, and is now pursuing a master's degree. He has a 4.0 grade point average in kinesiology and exercise science. And finally, the number one team in Class 4A boys basketball is in town tonight as Cedar Falls visits Prairie. The Tigers' only loss was to Linmar 12 days ago. Prairie is 10-3, and it will be well attended, including by Scott Unash.
Yeah, we'll be there tonight for the Valley Division lead in the MVC with Cedar Falls and Prairie going at it. 319-366-1600, 330, coming up on 332. We're going to take a break, come back. KJ Pilcher is set to join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And stay tuned. We will talk some wrestling when we return after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. Winds will be picking up as we head through the day, and temperatures will be rising into the low 50s as a result. It will be sunny, but winds will gust as high as 40 miles per hour at times. Then tonight will stay breezy. Skies will be clear. Temperatures drop down to a low just around 30. Tomorrow will be slightly cooler, but still mild in the low to mid 40s under sunny skies. We'll be back around 50 on Thursday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Hungry? Quick Start's got you. Food's here, and it's hot and ready. Check out our appetizers, like crispy tornadoes, packed with bold fillings that'll keep you coming back for more. And experience Quick Star's zesty mini tacos, bite-sized, big flavor, and totally irresistible. No dinner plans? Take home and bake a freshly made Cheese Mountain pizza. So easy and delicious. Fuel up at your ultimate destination for snacks and meals that hit the spot, only at Quickstar.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text LION to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text LION to 321321. That's LION to 321321.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Welcome back, 3:35 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. Mark Ironside will join us coming up tomorrow, Thursday. Kevin Lehman, the coach, and then a very, it's an interesting edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick Six coming up on Friday. Mark, you have put together a potpourri of various sporting events for the tweener between the championship games and the Super Bowl next week.
Yeah, it's typical. I have to get creative, and I have to tip of the hat to Isaac, who helped me one with one of them. And that was how many matches Iowa will win against Penn State. What do you think I set the number? Well, you know what I set the number of.
I saw it. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. Iowa-Penn State coming up this weekend. Maryland as well, but Penn State's the one everybody is focusing on, including our next guest. That is K.J. Pilcher of the Gazette, and you can read his stuff online and give him a follow on the X or the Twitter, whatever you prefer. And, yeah, Iowa-Penn State this weekend, K.J., after Iowa-Ohio State, after UNI-Okie State and everything. It's this is fun wrestling season now.
Yeah, it just keeps heating up like the weather outside, right? I mean, they're near balmy conditions for the end of January. And of course, like you mentioned, what a huge weekend of wrestling in the state, just not at the college level, but at every level. And then you follow it up with a big one, like 1-2 out at State College, you know, two big rivals. It's another one that should be an electric atmosphere out there, because you know the Penn State fans will be loud and rowdy, and sometimes the Iowa teams of the past have really fed on that type of environment and that energy. So we'll see how that plays out Friday. I believe an early start there at the BTN, where it's 6 o'clock Iowa time. So
true. Hey, before we get to high school stuff, talking a little college before that, were you surprised Teamer came out?
No.
Okay.
I think if you remember, when he was hurt, we talked about this, and this was when I kind of expected him to come out all along, was the Ohio State duel, because they really did not need him at all before this, and they probably didn't even need him this weekend. But you know, Miguel Estrada, who had really kind of stepped in as the main reserve there at 57, had done a great job, had the big win previously. He was going to have to burn his red shirt if he came out. So it just seemed to really make sense and really seemed like the right time to try to bring him back, as long as everything was going well, you know, even – from a month and a half ago. Once Terry Brands had mentioned, it was right before the duels in St. Charles, Missouri, right before the holiday break, where Terry Brands said his progress is good and it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be originally. That's when I kind of figured, I bet you we see him for Ohio State. And boy, he, you know, he hadn't wrestled hard. He said, today, that was his first live wrestling. He was explosive, got three takedowns against Sammy Sasso, who's a two-time finalist, even though it's not necessarily the same Sammy Sasso as before, you know, when he suffered his gunshot and missed wrestling for a year, but still a really good competitor. Teamer came out, looked good, said his leg had no trouble. They in the media availability and said he's looking forward to Penn State on Friday. So, you know, him and Ayala, you know, Drake Ayala was not in the lineup for Ohio State, but he's in the probable lineup now for Penn State on Friday. So expect him to be back in the lineup there at 133. So I think those were two of the question marks, and I think we got answers for them.
Real quick one on that Ohio State meet leading into Penn State. You talked last week about what your impressions of Gabe Arnold interviewing him and what a great guy I think you thought he was, talking about mental health and whatnot. He might need a public relations guy, KJ. he was a little brazen talking about Carter Starace. Really?
Well, yes, he was. That was kind of a surprise because that's something we really haven't seen. I think they've kind of put the clamps down here in recent years about stuff like that. I think it, you know, at one time it was, you know, whatever. You know, however you want to deal with it, go ahead. Tom kind of alluded to that today that, you know, hey, that's not maybe how I would handle it, but, you know, whatever. Sanderson kind of said the same thing in response. Starace had an interesting response as well, insinuating that Game Arnold wasn't even the best 84-pounder for Iowa and wasn't sure he was even the starter anymore. I thought that was kind of funny. But, you know, it was relatively harmless, but you certainly don't want to tug on Superman's cape, right? That's the old saying. And I don't know if that's the one you want to go after. And I'll remind you of this, too. In high school, when he was at Iowa City High, he made reference, I'm pretty sure, to Starace after he committed or signed with Iowa that, hey, I'm coming for you. So this isn't the first time, you know, he's kind of pulled on the lion's tail. And I don't know if that was really a smart move because it hasn't worked out well for others that have tried that same approach.
Isaac,
but, you know,
you could do that.
It makes things interesting and fun, right?
Yeah.
To a certain extent. And I think he tiptoed that line okay, but it was one of those things afterwards where we kind of giggled when he left the media room. It's like, that message probably was not pre-approved for the masses, but, you know, it certainly has been a talking point for a lot of wrestling fans leading into that meet.
Well, Isaac could be his guy. Isaac, do you want to be Gabe Arnold's, media guy?
I would be Gabe Arnold's fun to talk to. I would love to have that job. I do think moments like that would be a little bit more of a headache. I can't imagine how Sam might have felt the SID there. He might have been like a little bit like, oh goodness, that's not what I was expecting.
I'm sure he was waiting for a phone call from a coach or something after that. But you know, Arnold really is. You know, the week before doing the story on him and kind of. He was really open. He's open. He's honest. What you see is what you get with him on the mat, off the mat. I know they've raved about how he is as an ambassador with people outside the program and for the program. You know, he's an entertainer, and I think he's a really good guy in addition to that. And, you know, I thought he was just trying to drum up a little interest there. But like I said, you got to be careful with tugging on Superman's cape.
KJ Pilcher joining us. Let's change it over to the high school front here. We are in championship season now. It is conference tournament weekend coming up. Let's start with the MVC. That's going to be here in town at Xavier. What is that looking like, and how is that shaping up this year?
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting team race there. You know, you've got Lindmar, I think right now is kind of the clear-cut favorite. You know, they're coming off a really strong showing at the Bob Luters Invitational on Saturday, where they came away with the team title and beat Pleasant Valley by 41 or 43 points. You know, I think they're starting to really kind of come into form, and they've got guys at the weights that they want them. You know, Malik DeBow at 126 and Philip Jacobs won titles this last weekend. Barrett Miras at 165 is one of the best at that weight in this area, certainly in the conference. You know, so they've got some guys that are going to score a lot of points and place very high. And then they also have that team balance where they're going to have some guys in, you know, that fourth through eighth range that's going to get them a lot of points too. I think they're, you know, they're the team to kind of chase. Then I think what's intriguing too is Iowa City West. You know, that is a team that I think you look at and you think quantity or quality over quantity. You know, they had three champs down at the Luters as well. They finished third overall with 191 points. Got titles from Alexander Pierce, who is now down at 113, which I'm sure, you know, doesn't make a lot of 13 pounders happy to see him drop from 120. Cole Crutchfield won the title at 138, and then Justin Avila at 150, who beat Noah Hawk Irwin from Lindmar in the final. So Iowa City West has those three guys that are very capable of winning championships and scoring bonus points on the way to a title. And then you have somebody like Matt Tron at 120. He dropped down to 120 when Pierce went to 13. He's a former state qualifier. He got second down at the Luters. They're a team that really can kind of maybe make a run, certainly be in that top two or three. And then I think you have kind of a group of really good teams kind of sitting back behind those two, where you have the likes of Cedar Rapids Prairie, City High, Xavier. Xavier's had a really good season. We've seen them jump to 16th in the dual rankings. And I'm pretty sure that's the highest ranking they've ever had as a team. You know, and then, you know, City High, Prairie, Xavier, kind of in that mix of teams right behind them, Western Dubuque, you know, if they're healthy and have Joe Hirsch and Macklin Penner back in the lineup, they could be right in that group too. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. And of course, I think there's a lot of parity as far as weights go. You might see a lot of, you've got really good individuals from different teams. It's not like a few years ago at Waterloo East where you had 13 teams with at least one champ. That was pretty insane. Only one team had multiple champs. I don't think it'll be quite like that, but I think there's a lot of parity where you'll see at least a team, you know, teams that might not be in the race have a champ and have a say in who ends up coming out on top.
KJ, you can only be one place on Saturday, or maybe not. I don't know. But we do have the WAMAC, and we've got the Auburn Invitational, also known as the Tri Rivers. A couple other good meets.
You know, WAMAC, I think, I know we talked a lot about the MVC, but the WAMAC, I think, is going to be the most fun because you have so many good teams. And kind of echoing what I said about the MVC, you're going to have this dynamic between four or five teams that could win the WAMAC, which is crazy to think about. But you've got teams like a Mount Vernon that's got they have hammers in you know, Jace Jaspers and Mikey Ryan, Ethan Wood at heavyweight. Kieran at 190 has wrestled really well at that weight. Cale Riniker. But they've got hammers where they can come away with three titles, and then have some other guys do really well. I think West Delaware is kind of in that same boat. They've wrestled really well lately. They just beat Sergeant Bluff Luton 2 weekends ago at the Perry Invitational by 40-some points. That's a, you know, that's a big win for them. And they've got guys like Liam Weber at 157, Blake Mather at 175, Brent Yakovic at 190, Jaron Funky at 215, that are title contenders. And then you have teams like Williamsburg and Independence, who are top five teams in the dual rankings because they have that balance from top to bottom where they have a competitive guy, you know, from 106 to heavyweight. But it just depends how many points are they going to score and where they're going to be on that podium. But you certainly could have enough depth for a Williamsburg or Independence that if things don't go well for West Delaware or Mount Vernon, they could slide up there, you know. And then you've got Benton Community who's hosting it. And that's a team that's really, really dangerous because you've got some outstanding wrestlers like Patterson, like Brendan Haying, Blake Haying, Jackson Mailer, up and down the lineup that could win it and put up some bonus points. I believe the Kupka brothers won at 215. That's capable of winning it. So there are a lot of moving pieces with that WOMAC race, and would be really fun to watch. And of course at 190, I think really looking forward to see another rematch between Blake Haying and Brent Yakovic, two of the top wrestlers in class 2A that have met about three or four times already, all 1 point matches that run Haying's way. So that should be fun there at the WOMAC. And you mentioned Al Burnett. Yeah, that's a one horse race. The finals could be a dual meet between Al Burnett and the Tri Rivers All Stars. For the most part, Al Burnett just coming off winning their own home dual tournament. So they've been rolling. They're ranked number one in the latest dual rankings, above Don Bosco and Wilton. And that's, like you said, that could be Al Burnett versus the field in the championship round.
Yeah. And then we're getting ramped up for state duels as well. You got to be in the top 16, right? Or close to the top 16 to get your name called, right?
Actually,
24, isn't it?
Format change. It's top 24 now.
Okay.
The latest rankings came out earlier today, and I think that's the rankings that they'll use for the regional dual pairings. Those won't be out today from someone at the association, but you'll see those either tomorrow or later this week. Just looking at some of the teams in our area in 3A, Lidmar is 4, so they should host regional duels next Tuesday. And then you have to go down Clear Creek, Amanda. They're number 13. You know, they got second to Ankeny at the Bean Smith duels on Saturday. They've been wrestling really well as of late. And of course, just a side note on that, you know, last year at this time, Brad Smith was down at City High for a ceremony where they announced they were changing the Clyde Bean duels to the Smith Bean duels. And now everybody knows the story about how he took over for Kyle Forness at Clear Creek Amanda. And of course, now he's directing a team that finished second at the tournament that's named after him. So that's kind of cool. But they're 13th right now. We mentioned Xavier at number 16 in 3A, Western Dubuque, number 19. And then you've got City High and Prairie at 21 and 22. Of course, you know, Southeast Polk's the top dog in 3A, and everybody's kind of playing for second in that field. In 2A, Algona's number one, but then you've got West Delaware, Williamsburg at 2-3, Sergeant Bluff Luton, and then Independence at number 5. Mount Vernon's dropped a little bit to number 11. Solon and Bent Community are at 16, 17. Anamosa at 19. North Fayette Valley at 20. West Liberty at 18. Then you got LaPorte City Union, 22. Albernette's number one in 1A, as we mentioned. Don Bosco's 2. Jessup, which made their first duels appearance last year, they're number 4. So Albernette and Jessup in the area will host. Then you've got Lisbon at 13 and West Branch at 20 as far as area teams. So we've got quite a few teams that are looking to host regional duels. And then we might have quite a few area matchups considering where the others fall in the rankings.
There you go.
Of course, they'll compete at Extreme Arena that Saturday. So the was that the 8th, I believe. Top 8 getting down there. So,
yeah. All right, man. Enjoy Wrestling Palooza weekend number 2. So it ought to be fun. And
and don't forget, you got girls high school regionals on Friday.
That's true.
First year where they have 2 classes. So the regionals are no longer the big super regionals. They're smaller regionals at high school sites for the first time. So that should be fun as well.
All right. Hey, thanks, KJ. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, kind enough to join us here. A lot of wrestling to talk about. Quick break. Come back to wrap things up after this.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
The silly moments, the proud moments, even the hard moments, they're what make life remarkable. And they're why Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield is here for every moment, committed to making healthcare better, more affordable, with more choices for care, and service and coverage that give you peace of mind no matter what comes your way, so you can show up for every tender moment, every brave moment, and every wouldn't miss it for the world moment, knowing that Blue is here for you. Go to wellmark.com/every moment to find a plan right for you.
Back with you on the Gym Class 356, wrapping things up on a Tuesday edition of the program. Stay tuned. Spencer on Sports coming your way next, and that will be tonight, or from 4 until 6. And then tonight, we got the Cyclone Coaches Show, and that runs from 6:30 until 8 o'clock this evening. And probably a lot of talk about last night and the shot, I guess, that they're calling it. Down in Tucson, that Caleb Love hit from about 55 feet out to send that to overtime. And then he just went nuts in overtime, Mark. All the momentum in the world was with Arizona going into the extra five-minute period. It was going to be an uphill battle for Iowa State, but you know what? Like we said, that did not take Iowa State, did not hurt a ton losing that game last night.
Should be an interesting show tonight, and probably a pretty interesting night for the Iowa women tonight as they host Northwestern.
Yeah, should come out on top in that one, but you never know. You can't look by anybody, but yeah, Northwestern is not one of the more dominant teams as far as Big Ten women's basketball is concerned. So you got to be up and ready to play anyone, though. Hannah Stolke should be back tonight, the way it sounds.
That's the word, yeah.
Yeah, that according to Randy Peterson, the assistant coach for the Iowa women. Got to talk to, try to get Jan Jensen here soon. We always try to get in touch with Jan at least once during the season and get her thoughts. Now, that was when she was an assistant coach. She's in the chair to the right now. So we'll see if we can still work on that and work our magic. So as Isaac is trying to put his resume in to be Gabe Arnold's media advisor.
I'd say he can talk to anyone except maybe Keck and Carter Staraci. That would be my two. Anyone else you want to talk smack to, I'd be down for.
All right. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Have a great night, everybody. Spencer on Sports is next.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey